Join me in welcoming Jodi Farina to Mystical Sisterhood today. She is the founder of Light Healing Therapies and brings 30 years of experience and a diverse background to her healing practice. She is a practitioner of soul healings and facilitates ceremonies. Today we'll be covering ancestral healing, light language activation, light code downloads, craniosacral therapy, and womb healing. It's a lot to cover in a short amount of time, but we're going to give you a taste of Jodi's work, and I can't wait for you to learn more. Thanks for being here, and join us in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I'm with Jodi Farina. I have to first and foremost say that Jodi lives adjacent to me in the sister town to where I live in Illinois. And so I regularly hear her name as a profound healer. And I was lucky enough to have joined your email list, Jodi, years ago, and then started receiving emails from you recently. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to be the best fit for Mystical Sisterhood. So I just want to welcome you and say thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, you're so welcome. You know, it's lovely when there are common touch points to how we know one another. And what I find more and more is that we are so incredibly connected, sometimes, you know, just in proximity, but the one degree of separation. And, you know, you can tap into somebody and they say, oh, I know her either through the community, or she was a mother in my school, or just something. And I love the piecing together of the connections that come forth from doing this podcast now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. And I've heard your name likewise. I think we know a lot of mutual people. And I think it's lovely. It's its own little, even local sisterhood. Yes.
So Jodi, we're here to talk about, you know, how you got into the work you do and the beautiful work that's coming forth from you both over these years and just all the ways in which that morphs and changes. But I loved, as I was reviewing how you grew up and how you reminisce about your childhood, some of the abilities that you may have been tapping into as a young child, it seems. And I wondered, when you were a young child and you were seeing things or hearing things or knowing things that were unseen, do you remember how you coped? And was it overloading to your system, or did you have anyone to go to, or would you tend to go to your room and kind of keep it to yourself? How did you sort of handle what was coming in to you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I needed to suppress it because there was nothing to do with all of that. There's no place to put it or to have anyone to support that. So it really became to suppressing, which I think so many people around the world suppress things of all different types. So yes, I would end up being alone a lot because I needed to just kind of work through the emotions of my own system itself. I was in nature a lot. I felt the healing just being with Mother Earth, and I was outside a lot, lived outside as long as I much as I could have in my younger years. But yeah, the suppression was the main thing, which I think is very challenging and very difficult. And at some point it's going to bubble up. Yeah. The first time it, I would say, was trying to come to the surface, meaning whatever you believe in, like really trying to kind of break me out of that and allow me to be who I am and allow me to just be, was I had a water skiing accident. I was 16 years old. My wrist got caught on the rope and I was dragged underwater for quite some time. Mm-hmm. They didn't know it naturally because you're supposed to pop up when you wipe out from water skiing. I definitely had a few moments there that I passed over and definitely saw, you know, my life passing before my eyes and different pictures. It was beautiful. It was incredibly, it was beautiful. But I feel like that was their first time, meaning like wake up.
Wow.
Like you need to be this, like be who you are. You need to speak it, you need to do it. It was such a huge moment. And yet when I came back, because I was able to be on the other side and feel all the beauty and have all that oneness and just be love again, which we are just love, you know. But
Wow.
I didn't feel, that's the first time I felt it probably in this lifetime. So they brought me back. It wasn't my time. And it was really hard for me to be back then because I was like more like angry. And once again, I had nowhere to go with this information. Unfortunately, I had to suppress it again. Went on with like as what was expected of me. That generation was all about, you go to school, you go to college, you get married, et cetera. And that's, I was kind of like an automatic private pilot just to survive. So from there, I had a moment where, yes, I was in the deepest of darkest of shadows. And, definitely, in the darkest of hole that I know so many people have been in and unfortunately have understand this feeling. And that was like the second round, if you will, of having to take me in this case, going down, down deep into the shadows versus way up high, and me having to crawl my way back out. At that point, there was things that were starting to open up, meaning this was now in the late 90s, this was. And at that point, like I just couldn't suppress anything anymore. And then finally I was able to, go to my father specifically and then a few others and really just become who I am. And at that point, back then there wasn't the internet. But I found a massage school. There wasn't all these healing schools and all these other things back then. But I found a massage school and I enrolled in massage school and I found people like me. And
Wow.
then that opened up all these other doors. And then it has continued since then all these years. So it's been like 3 decades now about,
Oh, that's
And I'm very
amazing.
grateful. Like I don't, those stories are very big stories for me. They're beautiful stories. I don't have any hard feelings about them or woes me's. It's things I needed to go through to get to where I could be and to speak my voice. Also, they brought me into situations where I was meant to have these challenges. I was meant to have these hard lives. There's many other traumatic events in my life, but I understand them because that's how I'm able to connect to others. I
Okay.
can understand people, and I'm just so grateful for them. I want to say that I'm very grateful for these experiences.
Yeah, I love that. And thanks for sharing the timeline, your experiences. I had, and that's the thing, when you share experiences, when we hear each other's, we can have light bulb moments. And I think one I just had was when I was 16 years old. I always describe a car accident I was in, and sort of when you just described being pulled under the water and having the different imagery. I remember the night that I was in the car accident. I was in the back seat of a sedan, and it was probably about 1985. And we slid through a patch of ice because I'm from the Midwest, so Midwestern winters, and I can almost go back to that experience of looking to my left and seeing the blinding lights of the car that was going to crash into us. However, when you're just describing what you went through, I kind of question the light that I saw now
Oh,
for the first
beautiful.
time ever in my life. So that's a little crazy. Also, your sharing of the times that were lower or darker, or, had the suppression. I think so many of us relate. And then I have a feeling these clients are coming to you all the time. And the beauty of that is sometimes it's, maybe it's not the very first time, but it's maybe the first time that they're opening up and sort of putting those things that have felt like burdens down with the possibility of like, oh, maybe there's something here for me.
I also think it's a feeling of loss. I think a lot of people are feeling that right now, of, just feeling kind of lost and not knowing and questioning things. So I think it's all very interconnected, yes.
Do you think that we're going through that as a collective for possibly any broader type reason, or how do you see that? Because I think so many times, so many of us just had been looking at life through our human perspective. but I know you do a lot of work around our soul. And so are you seeing different reasons as to why? And do you see any patterns or bigger waves of those coming through who are feeling losses, like you say?
I feel like, and I have seen that people are longing. That's what I have seen, longing for more, longing for what is their reason for being here, their purpose, and maybe even not knowing it's even that. But once again, it goes to, just yes, like they're missing something, or it's got to be more, or what does this mean? It's those types of things I've seen and heard. And I think the greater scope of that is that it is a time where we are all connecting more inward for those that choose it, of course, but they're feeling that. And what that sense of loss is really just us, or us individually is within. It's always within. And so the more we go in and the more we're able to remember, the more we're able to activate, reactivate, rebirth, if you will, within us, which is about our soul and our soul work here. Then the expansion happens within. And then, of course, the expansion happens in your family and on the whole, it continues. So that's what I've seen more of, that people are willing and wanting to go more inward in order to have those answers. Though I don't even think that's even like they can even define it as that right now, some of them.
Okay. So you talk about too when you just use that word remembering, and I can receive that. And I love the idea of remembering. So let's talk a little bit about that concept, because I think sometimes we use words and just like this conversation, it's like, well, okay, wait, what exactly, or not exactly, because we don't have to be exact, but what in general it does that mean to remember? What are we remembering?
What my belief is, of course, is remembering, why we chose to come here. I believe we all chose this physical vessel. We chose our parents. We chose this life. And of course, once we're here, we have free will. We can make choices. But it's remembering of why we came here. It's that soul mission, that purpose, however you want to phrase it. And it's remembering that. Remember that so that we can be also remembering who we are on a deeper level. So not just what like our mission is, if you will, but remember who we are, which I believe are our gifts. If we can remember who we are and remember if it's also, past lives. Many, if you believe in past lives, that we have all these past lives. And then we have the work with the ancestors. So we have all these different directions of who we are and what we chose in the now, and to do that here on the earth plane. So it's not about wanting to leave the earth, though we all have, or most people maybe have had that moment in that deep, dark time, but it's really about we chose to be here right now in order to bring forth whatever it is we're wanting to bring forth.
Okay. Oh, that's so beautiful. I mean, I'm sitting here smiling. I'm so delighted to hear it. And when I look around and see, I think I was writing a few things this morning about the ways in which I witness the awakening amongst people. And it can seem to be the beginning questioning maybe of how you've been living, or maybe relationships that are right in front of you that you maybe are frustrated or can't seem to move the energy or understand in new ways. But then there's something in that light bulb moment of, wait a minute, when you start to dig beneath the question, or you have something big happen in your life that says, oh, wait a minute, is there more? And that's a really, I don't know if you're seeing it happening with the younger generations too. But it's even if it's happening in our 50s and 60s or beyond 70s, it's such a delightful process to be in tandem with somebody on.
Absolutely. I actually feel younger generations are expanding quicker. They're just coming in and they're just like ready and they're doing it and it makes sense. And they have no, what's so incredible, I think, is they don't have the fear attached to them. And I think older generations, speaking generally, of course, we tend to have the fear for the way we were raised or other patterns and society ways. And it seems like these younger generations are coming in. They're like, well, yeah, of course I can do that. Or I was born to do that. And then there's no fear and they do it. And I love that. I find that just incredible.
When
So
you,
it's shifting. Things are shifting.
I know, and when you say that, Jody, about the younger generation, what age ranges are coming into your mind about that?
It's a little different. I really started seeing it, if I'm just looking at like where my work-wise, the group that's now like 28 and 30, I really started to really see it then. And then it has continued as the ages have gotten younger and younger.
Oh, very cool. I love it. Yeah. And I know what's been dawning on me, I think through the podcast and just life, is that I feel that our generation is being called into action to be at a forefront of mentorship and guidance for what we are awakening to. Someone like you has been sort of in this field for a while, me a lot less time in terms of, I think, my awakening and just continually having my eyes opened on a daily basis to new and different ways of understanding and higher perspectives. But I think it is the biggest gift we can give right now is the guidance, because there are these younger ones that are like, wait a minute, this is not working. What else is there? What, and they're really starting to question. And at the same time, they have things in front of them that our generations never did, right? The technology, the constant demands. But I'm seeing a recreation of, I need quiet time. I need, my daughter's getting back to reading every night before she goes to bed, the things that settle your soul that really are calming. So it's a very interesting time we're living in that regard.
Absolutely. It's two extremes, really. Yes, with the technology and all the input and all the electronics and all the way to the other end, like you're saying, it's two extremes they're actually trying to manage.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I, when I was preparing and kind of looking at what you're doing now, I really feel that there were several parts. I mean, there's going to be so many of what you do that I think people who have been on the podcast, maybe, there's like when you talk about light language activation, and I don't know if we want to go there yet, but you had a few things like light language activation and light codes or womb therapy. But I want to, like, before we get into that, because I would like you to share with the audience, what are these modalities? How do I access them? Which one is speaking to me right now? But like, as you, we kind of dropped off a little bit in your 20s, and then you started to study, you said, massage therapy, and you took your first steps into tapping into your path. And so, what unfolded then in the coming decades, and how has that grown to where you are now? Like, if you can say in general, kind of how that path just opened up and led you to your specific kind of modalities.
I believe that it was just taking more and more and more classes, which I still continue to this day. I believe, the knowledge is just endless, and I feel like the more I learn, the less I know. So it just truly is endless for me, but I love it and I love all of it. But really, it started back then with massage and then Reiki, which Reiki was really not heard of much back then, and massage, I mean, I have people calling me a masseuse and thinking I was doing like the happy endings. So like it was a whole different that I, the timeline that I went in. And then it just continued and progressed from there. I started taking one of the, larger classes, I'll call it, was like cranial sacral therapy. I have worked with, vibrational therapy, journeying into people's past lives, going into, the womb therapy we're talking about. Light language started traveling through me about 7 or 10 years ago. So it's just kind of kept opening and opening and opening. And I've just allowed and have followed my heart of whatever's been called to me. And then what I think each of these things I'm labeling, if you will, they're classes, and I think the more classes, the better. But what each has done for me is it's an activation. So the more I'm once again working on myself, the more I'm learning, the more I'm unwinding, the more I'm healing myself, because I'm healing myself as I'm doing the work. And so therefore, it's just once again, I'm going about more and more and more inward, and therefore opening up more and more and more of who I am. So, like I said, I've labeled these things in a list, but the bottom line is for me is that I really try not to define what I do, because it really is coming from within. And so I label what I do as soul healings. And then I have like a toolbox. And so I don't have anyone sign up for like, I want to sign up for cranial sacral therapy. And there's nothing wrong with that with someone else. I'm just explaining how I work. I don't have anyone sign up for any one thing because I don't know what that soul needs until they're here. Until I'm working on them, either in person or remote long distance. Until I'm really connected with them and in that energy field of them, that is when, I just become a conduit for them and I allow what needs to come through for their soul at that time. And it's usually a variety of different techniques and tools, some of which I have no names for. But it's things I've done in other lifetimes, for example. So it just is kind of like, I just kind of say it is going to be a variety of tools, but like, don't think about it and don't worry about it. We just allow. So there is a trust there. There's a trust on someone coming to see me of like, people do like to know what they're signing up for. And I just kind of say, it's soul healing. So I try to explain it as best as I am trying to do right now as well. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful segue, and thanks for sharing how you kind of just went down the different paths of, I was wondering, that was one of my questions initially was, do you feel that along the way that your soul has guided you, or the next thing that Jodi needs to learn, it will come to her, and then she can, like you said, have free will. But is it that the universe puts these things sometimes in front of us, and then we have the choice, and sometimes we seek them out too. But yeah, I was wondering how much you just felt that you've been guided in this lifetime.
Feel like I've been guided a lot, and I would really say since my 20s, once I really was ready to be like, I can't live that life because that's not who I am, but I am going to choose my life. That's when I really feel that like everything continued to open and more of the messages started to come because I was choosing to listen. I was choosing not to suppress anymore. I was choosing not to have to do what society tells you to do or our parents expect. I really just started breaking all of those chains, breaking all of those boundaries. I'm not claiming it was easy, and I'm not claiming it was easy for anyone around me. It's very hard, and it's hard work, but that's how we learn and that's how we grow. It's not usually through, all joy and happiness. We usually have to go down to go up. We have to go down in the darkness in order to get to more light. You go down again and you receive more light. That's one way of looking at it, of course. But yeah, I do believe in grace and ease and always asking for grace and ease through this process. But yes, I believe that I have been guided and I still believe I am more and more. And I'm trying to listen. I truly try. I truly try to take the time to because our lives are busy. Our lives are busy when there is still things that we need to do. There's family and responsibilities, and that's all things we do have to do in this plane on earth. And that's a beautiful thing. But then it's also remembering to have that quiet time, that silence time, so we can hear. So we can hear either with our inner ears or the knowing, the feeling, the intuition. It's different for everybody, but everyone has these gifts.
Well,
Everyone does.
yes. I was going to ask that to talk to me about, or talk to us about, our abilities that are untapped, and how we can cultivate the parts of ourselves that we may have never been in touch with.
Yeah, we agree. We all have them. And I think we all have psychic abilities. I do believe that. I believe we can all hear with our inner ears and see with our inner eyes, all of those things. And then it's truly about, once I said, is doing all that inner work and really starting to piece away the inner work, go deeper and deeper. And then our own messages come forth for us. Individual speaking, as well as we all have gifts, but they're all different too. We're all capable of like the psychic gifts, yes, but then what are our own individual gifts? And I believe everybody has that very different. And so it's about tapping into that and then doing that, then at least your soul work, I believe.
And do you feel that, I think for a lot of us, when we start to, even when I opened myself up to this podcast, that was never by design, right? So somehow it came to me and I was being led through it. And I've done things that have felt scary along the path. And you know, like I'll always say this, anyone who listens often, but I think it's twofold. I love to be in conversation with people. It is part of why I'm here. And then people will say, well, the structure says, you know, do solo episodes too. And then I get really comfortable, uncomfortable, you know, not like to the degree I used to, but I think it's there for me to know, well, do you have fear in that column of getting on by yourself and talking about something? Or is it more that part of your mission here or whatever it is to be in conversation and to be in that energetic resonance with somebody else to amplify those messages? I mean, that's only something that nets out over time, but I'm curious about it. But I think part of my question in there is when we're opening up to these new possibilities in our lives and coming forth with like, wow, maybe this is what I'm meant to share or do or be. Fear is with our generation a big thing. So is that something when someone comes to you that you address that kind of in that soul to soul energetic work? And can that help clear some of the fear in addition to working on it more on like an ego level, I guess, or in our mind?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, not only is our generation full of fear, but I mean, there's so much fear in the society right now and around the world. So there's just fear
Yeah.
everywhere. And it's going to then affect us individually even more so, or maybe even trigger what inner fear that we have. So, yes, when I work with somebody individually, if they carry fear, for example, or it could be really any other heavier energy, we'll call it. Once again, we start and we're in the energetic field of that person. It's like a blueprint that I'm able to see. And I'm able to see energy that they're carrying, heavy energy in this case we're speaking of. And it's not me. Let me rephrase that. It's like not me. I am the conduits. When I say I see it, my eyes are actually closed, but I am directed to where the energy is and that I'm able to help release it, transmute it, move it, whatever is called for in that moment. And it could be all the different type of fear to grief, to blockages, restrictions. And then our mind is, I mean, it's all the same, but there is a little different. We do have an ego. We need our egos to survive here. But there is all those tricks of the mind. There are all those mental patterns. There's anxiety, which is in the body, but yes, still in the mind, So it's all the same. The energy is traveling everywhere, but the mind energy does seem a little bit different. And so that's where I have found that cranial sacral therapy for me really helps to work with those modalities with the cranium and to allow the movement and the energy to also start moving with the cranial waves and the cranial bones and to start those releasing as well. And the way that I work with cranial sacral is a very energetic approach. I am trained at cranial sacral, however, it's very energy based. So it's still working with the energy, if that makes sense. But yes, all of these things can be transmuted, transformed, released, shifted. What I will say is that, it can be a one-time session where someone comes in and maybe it does all release, and that happens, then great. But I always like to let people know it's like anything else. It's a one-time therapy session, do it. So the one time taking one pill, do it. One kind of time for chiropractors that do it. Chances are not. But I never keep limits. So it is something where it may have to have a few sessions to work on, depending on how deeply embedded that energy is. Is it just from this life? Is it from past lives? How ancient is it? Is it from ancestors? How old is that ancestral energy? So there's a lot of things to be looking at and could be a lot of layers to like just saying one thing. So we
Wow.
just don't have that answer. Yeah.
So when you even talk about ancestral lineage, sometimes I will tend to think like my parents, my grandparents, but the way you just said it is like, can it go way further back than that?
I believe it's endless. I
Yeah.
know some people say it's seven generations before and after, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like, once again, I don't believe in limits. So why would I limit it to
Okay.
seven generations back?
Right.
If there's more, the bottom line is we're still them. We are our ancestors. They are us.
Yes.
In order for us to heal, We need to heal us, but we also need to heal them. And then they heal, they allow the movement, they allow the changes, and then we heal. It really is a teamwork, if you will.
You know, I gotta tell you, it just kind of blows my mind of the possibilities of this work, because it is still work that not everybody has access to or even access to the information about. And even when you were just describing craniosacral just a little bit and the cranial waves, and I just think about, you know, parts of my life or people in my life that could benefit from this sort of thing. And you know, we've learned so conventionally that it's just time for a breakthrough on a lot of this work. And like you're saying, like, that's why I loved when you talk about, like, oh, that's what I was interested in, that's what I studied, and I went for the light activation, the light codes, and you know, to learn and learn. I love this podcast because of that. So people can, if someone's listening and they're like, craniosacral, that sounds amazing. Because I have a couple friends recently that have been telling me about the shifts occurring for them from craniosacral, and it really piques my, even my interest. I really think these modalities breaking open like really big is what our society is calling for.
I hope so. And I believe in all forms of healing, but I really hope that the more information that gets out there to all, that there are so many other modalities.
Yes.
Like you said, like the more information, the better. And then people, they're going to hopefully feel what they resonate with. And then that
Definitely.
is the message that
Yes.
they should then be directed to.
Well, I'm going to ask you just, we will do a very condensed, but I'm going to ask you a few things that I'm curious about your work, if that sounds good to
Of
you.
course.
You mentioned it earlier, but tell me a little bit about womb therapy and what that entails or looks like, or the healing possibility through it.
Yeah, so my belief is with the womb is it is our creative center. It is such a sacred center for women especially, but of course all people, even males have an energetic womb. But we really just, I feel like we hold so much there, as well as we hold a lot of our traumas there and our emotions there. So by going in and working with the womb and moving the womb, moving our waters, moving our blood, if you will, it really allows us. For me, it allows me to really travel inward with them and to go to the levels and to the spaces that they need to go to heal that wound
Okay.
because they are held in the womb.
Yes.
That's my belief. I believe they could be held anywhere, of course, but I feel that that's the main area, especially for women.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, because what I find in life recently too is that everything is way deeper than we ever learned. And so even describing the womb as our creative center, or this possibility that, wow, we hold trauma there. And is that adjacent to a chakra, or is there something, what is the broader meaning of why the womb, if that question even makes sense?
Once again, what I believe, it is a second chakra,
Okay.
but I feel greater than that for women, especially. I feel like it is, you know, the center, the womb to our heart space is our divine feminine space. And that's what we're here to be. We're here to be the divine feminine. We're here to bring the empowerment forth. We're here to support others. We're here to heal. You know, even if we're not, if someone is considered themselves a healer, they are.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
we are the mothers. The mothers are safety. The mothers are home. The mothers are healing. Even if you haven't had a child, you're a mother. And so that's how I look at it, is so much deeper of like, we are here to heal all. We are here to heal the earth in this time. And we hold that, I believe, in the divine feminine space, the womb into the heart and back. And those are just my beliefs.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So when you're talking about that, what do you see when you bring women together in conversation about divine feminine or collective healing spaces?
I think it's more of a feeling It feels pure. It feels like love. It feels like sisters. Even if no one doesn't know each other, it just doesn't matter. And I'm just speaking of like gatherings that I have right now. And everyone just connects really easily. You know, it just comes out of because everyone wants to be there for themselves and wants to be there for the divine feminine and other women. And it just becomes this very supportive, loving space. I feel very quickly for that evening or that day or that weekend. And that's the beauty of the woman, I really believe.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think so many, like you said, are, I don't think you use the word craving, but craving this sort of community. And
Absolutely.
I know, Jody, too, we talked a little bit about when we met a few weeks ago that you entered into sort of the area of plant medicine. And can you tell us about your relationship with that and what you've learned and how you see it as healing for humanity as well?
Yeah, I've been saying 10 plus years ago, I was just needing more healing for myself. That's what it came down to. As I've mentioned, I continued my healing and my growth and my education, and I still do. And so it's just the next avenue felt me that I was called to. And it came through a message through someone I had never met before. And it was that aha moment. And so I was going to weekend ceremonies for my own health, my own growth, my own healing. And I just found how powerful it was for me. And then a few years after that, I was very called to and had been invited to different trainings for different medicines. And I just have said yes. You know, it just felt like the right thing for what was brought forth to move forth with. And I just look at it as another tool. And all the tools I feel are very powerful. I feel like if people don't want to work with medicines, they don't have to. They have all these other tools. And then for people that are looking maybe for something different or something more, people that have worked with me for a long time aren't needing more, wanting more, then I have this whole other set of tools as well. And so the ones that we can talk about today would be I do the cacao ceremonies. We talked about some gatherings. And so I like to do cacao ceremonies with women and the divine feminine. I tend to always bring in a theme with that as well. It's just me. I'm not saying other people do that, but we all do it our own way. And so I kind of always like to throw in something else of some other way to heal, something else to learn in the ceremony itself. And so then I also love working with hapé. And some people call it rapé. They're the same. And that is Father Tobacco. And that is with a bamboo pipe, and it's powdered tobacco. And I use a bamboo pipe to blow the tobacco up into each of the nostrils of somebody. And that brings in very deep, deep healing, grounding. It also decalcifies the pineal gland. It can release so much. It can release so much, even working with the ancestors. Of course, intentions are important. And it's so highly intelligent, Father Tobacco is that, you know, he'll travel anywhere throughout the body. So it really can be on all levels of healing. Of course, ceremony and intention and space matters. The facilitator matters. And so it's so much more than, you know, just blowing of the medicine. It can be a very deep process and beautiful one. And then mapacho is also the other form of Father Tobacco, and that is blown smoke. And so it smells, it doesn't smell like cigarettes, but it, you know, it may look like a bigger cigarette, I'll put it that way. But if this is all medicinal medicines, they are all from source. I get them directly from the people that I have trained with in the different countries. So I want to make that very clear. I don't buy it online. I just want to make it clear. And so, and then I also work with Combo, and Combo is a tree frog from the Amazon, from Peru and a couple other areas. And that has a secretion on the frog. And that secretion then is applied to the skin. And once again, it's ceremonial and it's in a sacred, safe space. That medicine in itself can help with, you know, stress, anxiety, depression. It supports the immune system, the digestive system. supports our lymphatic system. It cleanses us, detoxifies us. It has, I mean, it's endless the amount of benefits each of these medicines have, I should say. But specifically talking about combo right now, it has peptides in there that then we are able to receive within ourselves and then brings upon so much healing. All of these heal in mind, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's all of how like we decide to work with them or go in with them. So yeah. I don't know if that summarizes it well or not, but
I think it does. I think it gives an introduction. I haven't talked about plant medicine on the podcast yet. And so, I love how you know that where you source the plant medicine from, but also I remember on your website you said like you felt that you were highly connected to Mother Earth and the animal and plant kingdoms. And I've heard it said before too that that piece of it where you have utmost respect and reverence for where the medicine is coming from is essential. It's not, and I don't know if you've seen more of it cropping up, or I think I shared with you when we talked, it's like I love just being in conversation with people who have studied it more deeply and just have this reverence that's, from my understanding, necessary on the healer's end of it, the person who's going to guide you through ceremony with plant medicine.
Yes, agreed. The first thing is if you're going to work with someone with the medicines, any medicines, is that you trust that person and that you have a good source of, who this person is. You know someone that's worked with them or you have good conversations with them. Of course, you should always talk to the person beforehand, the facilitator, but there definitely needs to be that trust. If someone doesn't have that trust, I suggest to everyone and anyone, don't receive the medicine if you don't have the trust. Because it's so important. And you have to have trust within yourself. You have to be ready. You have to be pulled. And so that's also then trust within yourself. From there, it is about, having the education, having the experience, working with medicine that has been sourced properly. There is medicine that they claim is medicine, but we don't know if it is or not. I do know of stories that I won't get into. And I also know that, there have been stories of harm caused to people in all different avenues. So it's really about A, being going somewhere you trust, it's sacred, that they have had their education, where they have trained or how they've trained. And yes, how they respect Mother Earth and the medicine they're working with. Their connection with is important, just like anything else in life. Connection matters. Our alliances matter.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, it seems so. And that's another area when we just open up the conversations and oh, we could be connected to animal and plant kingdoms. I didn't even know that was a thing. I knew that to go out into nature, but everything is deepening right now, it feels like. Jody, I have to thank you for sharing everything you have today. Is there anything, as we're kind of coming to an end of our recording time together, that is coming through you? Of course, we only skimmed the surface here today, but any message that may be just important, I don't know what word is coming to me, for our audience right now.
What's important in the moment is that everyone knows that they're not alone and that there are all sorts of people out there that are have all different modalities that are willing to help them or just talk through things and to find what that means for you. Don't let yourself hold yourself back. Find the people, find the resources, and allow yourself to have that quiet time, that silence time. Allow yourself to go more and more inward. Allow yourself to disconnect from the noise because there's just so much noise right now that it's hard to find ourselves. So shut off the noise, take the time to find yourself, and then whatever supports or you're looking for, it's there.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's very critical and so beautiful. Just reminders. And for those who have started the process, sharing your voice and your experience is so important. And for those that hear that message and say, oh, maybe it's my time to build in some of this, to seek out what is here for me, we are here as sounding boards. And Jody, if you want to share your website or anything. I don't know if you're on social media, but anywhere someone can find you, that would be great.
Sure. My website is Light Healing Therapies, and so is my Instagram is Light Healing Therapies.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thanks so
Yep.
much for being here.
Thank you for everything, Maureen. This is beautiful.
I told you this interview was going to be shorter and it just couldn't be. It had to be longer.
It's lovely.
So thanks to the listener for being here. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.